Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on Patriots.com radio.
First and 10 Patriots from their own 1 yard line. Look at this. Brady's going to go with an empty backfield. Brady takes the snap, back to throw, gets rid of it down the field. Caught! 20-yard line, 30, 35, 40, down the left sideline. He's going to go the distance. A 99-yard touchdown play. How about that?
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
To another edition. Hey there, welcome to another edition of the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com. How is everybody doing? It's Thursday. We're just a few days away from the Patriots' home opener against the San Diego Chargers. But right off the bat, we'll talk about the Patriots-Chargers in the second hour. Right off the bat, we're going to go to Brian Lowe in the Fantasy Football Lowdown. There's so much to talk about.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
So little. You're never going to live that down.
That drop-in has been three, 4 years running now.
Well, I know.
That's going to outlive me.
Trust me. When I was at EEI, we had 11, 12-year drop-ins. You know, it's just never going to be. Good news out of Orlando, Florida. That was right. A goofy thing I was doing, you know, at the time. Yep. Goofing on not making fun of Dale Earnhardt dying. It was a couple days after that, and a goof on what somebody else had said, of course.
I remember.
But yeah, I'm sure you do. Yeah, everybody, everybody has a, you know, like a diary of,
you know,
everything
what
I've said before on the radio.
So. You just got to look at it as it's flattering, you know.
Yeah,
people remember you. No. So.
Well, again, you are the fantasy football guru. There's no question about it. I'm here just kind of to moderate and everything, and ask some stupid questions. But I will say this: I was pretty close on my score last week. I told you it's going to be a high scoring game, and I am even more confident this week, Mr. Guru, fantasy football guy, that whatever players you have. First of all, this is not the week to take the Chargers or the Patriots on defense if you have them in fantasy football. And whatever offensive players you have for these two teams, I can just tell you this, put them all out there. I mean, the top ones that you have, the Gateses, the Welkers, the Bradys, the Rivers, because this game, again, is going to fly over the total.
Yeah.
Forget about defense. This is going to be some, I think both teams score in the 30s. I think of my final prediction after, but this is going to be a fantasy football,
it's a dream.
I was going to say something else, but I was going to, because I'm not a gentleman. I'm filthy, but I mean, you know, you take them. It's going to, the stats that could accumulate in this game.
Yeah.
Could be sensational.
And you were right also last week about the Thursday night game. I thought it would be a lower scoring, just offense is not quite there yet.
Yeah.
But wow, the one overriding observation in the NFL, and this relates to, you know, the actual games and fantasy, is offenses are ahead of defenses, and I also think it's going to be more of a quarterback and wide receiver dominant year than running backs. There are obviously going to be running backs that dominate, but look at the quarterback numbers last week. Yet, obviously, Brady's one of the all-time great passing performances. You had, was it three or four over 400 yards, including Chad Henne, of all people, and Cam Newton making his debut.
Sure.
You had like 10 others over 300 yards. I think it's going to be such
Fitzpatrick, number one overall.
Fitzpatrick.
Who has, does anybody you know have Fitzpatrick as a starter last week?
If you had Fitzpatrick.
You did, Matt did.
Well, here's the thing.
Fitzpatrick and Cam Newton in a two-quarterback
league.
Well, that's the thing.
God.
If you're in a two-quarterback league, and I'm actually in one of those, you did. But certainly in a normal 12-team league with, you know, 12 quarterbacks starting, you're not starting Ryan Fitzpatrick. You wouldn't have wanted to start Cam Newton either. And listen, I think Cam Newton this week against Green Bay is maybe going to come back down to earth a little bit. But that was a pretty impressive performance. He has it in him to have big outings. So I think, you know, this is a year where you can, you still have to play matchups sometimes, obviously, but I think quarterbacks and wide receivers are going to be dominating. I think running backs are going to be a little slower. I think there's going to be fewer dominant running performances
this year. You weren't impressed with Chris Johnson on Sunday? I was thinking, I swear, if I had your number, I said, there was one time, it was right before the half, and I think he had 8 yards. Three was his long carry. I said, oh, my God. I mean, fantasy football people, for the running game last year, I mean, Adrian Peterson kind of had a quiet 100 yards
against San Diego. Yeah.
But, I mean, Chris Johnson, my God.
Yep.
That was just horrible.
Think about some of the top running backs, you know, in any fantasy league. Obviously, Chris Johnson. Adrian Peterson, you know, did not dominate. You had Jamaal Charles. struggle. I mean, that whole Kansas City offense struggle, and I think they're going to struggle again against Detroit this week. I don't even trust Jamaal Charles this week. So you had Charles have a poor game. You had Maurice Jones-Drew had a touchdown, but, you know, he and Deji Kareem are kind of splitting carries. You had some slower starts to some of the stud running backs. I know LeSean McCoy had a big game. I think Turner had a decent game too. Steven Jackson got hurt.
Yes, that was unfortunate.
Yeah, but then
and
you look
so
at the
quarterback. Bradford got hurt too.
Right, Bradford got hurt too. But you look at those quarterback numbers. You look at some of the wide receiver numbers. You know,
it's
second
a passing
and third,
league. It's a passing league.
It's a passing league, and I think I was a little surprised that passing the offensive passing numbers would be
actually,
so strong,
mad.
So
it's
quickly.
Amazing.
And that's you know, I was saying on my show yesterday, Brian, that I think when you have teams like the Patriots, Chargers, San Diego, and Patriots, Chargers, Green Bay, and New Orleans playing each other, those four are so far ahead offensively than anybody else. There isn't even a close.
Right.
I put the Patriots on top, and then you can pick and choose what you want. Green Bay's right, very close to the Patriots, if 1-1A. Yep. And then the other two, you know, San Diego and New Orleans are right there. There's nobody, there's no team that's a fifth place team that's even close to those four offensively. So, when those teams play each other, just throw the defenses out the window because it's just too much offensive talent on both sides. And it's not a knock on the defense. No. It's just, I mean, I don't care. It's not the 85 Bears defenses anymore. And I don't even know if the 85 Bears could stop some of these high powered offenses today.
Yeah. It's
especially a team like the Patriots with two great tight ends that they have.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's the talent on these teams. It's the stability, coaching and quarterback stability, which obviously is helping this year in particular. Now, that being said, you know, you did have Cam Newton, as I mentioned, who, you know, brand new coach, brand new quarterback, brand new everything, and he was able to do well. I think it just goes to show you that, you know, offenses will be ahead of the defenses, but the ones that you rattled off there, including the Patriots, definitely ahead of the game. Definitely ahead of the game.
Want a couple questions right off the bat?
Let's get them done. Let's get them going.
We're doing the show live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette. Web radio at patriots.com is the email. You can call us as well, 508-298-0398. My buddy Poker Mike is going to call you again at 4:30.
Fantastic.
I'm sure he had an interesting week last week. I saw him at poker last night, charity poker event.
There you go.
He was telling me some interesting stories that he'll share with you.
Great.
First question is from Nate. I have a fantasy question for Brian. I have Arian Foster on my fantasy roster. Should I start him this week, or should I put Woodhead in his place, Nate?
No, you got to start Arian Foster this week, and it's a tough matchup.
He's banged up, though.
He's banged up. They're saying he's going to play. They're saying he's going to start. Derek Ward is banged up. All signs point to him starting. So Foster versus Woodhead. Maybe I should temper going right out of there and saying definitely Foster, because I think Woodhead might be able to rack up the all-purpose yards. Might be a little risky, Foster against Baltimore. Maybe you need to give it a week on Foster, but I would go Foster. I would give it your, I would go with the instinct of, you know, you drafted Foster. He's the number one guy for that team. It almost seemed like, you know, he wasn't quite healthy last week. If they absolutely needed him, maybe he'd be ready to go. Mm-hmm. I think he'll be okay. I guess what you could hope for is that, Tennessee keeps it close with Baltimore and still has to run the ball as opposed to falling behind early like Pittsburgh did against Baltimore and you just got to throw it. I'd give the edge to Foster though. I would.
And you guys have, I mean, that's the Chris Johnson of quarterbacks last week was Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh,
I mean, anybody, you know, just die with him.
What about Donovan McNabb?
Well, the expectation.
I expect Donovan McNabb to quite frankly, not be good.
I didn't expect 39 yards.
I didn't expect 39 yards either, but. No. I wouldn't. He's not a guy. If I had a fantasy football, he would be like one of my last picks.
Yeah, I mean McNabb should not be a starter in fantasy football. Roethlisberger should be. Even against Baltimore, and that's a that Baltimore.
Well, he's 6-0 when he starts against.
Yeah,
he never lost to them. Pittsburgh never lost when he started. Against
them. And that was. I mean, the number of turnovers in that game. He had nothing. Pittsburgh had nothing going for itself in that game. So that was probably the most disappointing. Quarterback player last week. I made a mistake there. Foster's not playing Baltimore this week. Houston plays Miami.
Houston plays Miami. Yes.
I made a mistake there. I thought they were playing Baltimore. Houston against Miami. Yeah, I think you got to start Foster. Foster's going to be healthy. All signs point to him playing. I think you got to go Foster.
Split with Tate?
They might split, but last week Ward and Tate both split. The yardage wasn't they didn't have a ton of yardage. They each scored a touchdown though. I think Foster can score a touchdown in this game.
This is from our pal Gustavo from Brazil. Says, hi, Pete and Bilo. Which running back should I choose between Beanie Wells and MJD, I'm assuming Maurice Jones-Drew, or should I get take a chance on Ben Tate? Go Pats, Jets suck.
well, no, I wouldn't go with Tate. I would say, you know, Jones-Drew against the Jets, there's an odd vibe there with Jones-Drew because he wasn't happy with his number touches in week one. Mm-hmm. And that's not what you want to hear out of your lead running back. I'm saying from Jacksonville's perspective and from the fantasy perspective,
sure.
You don't want to hear that. He's a guy who gets banged up, and Deji Kareem is their backup. He's getting a little bit of some carries, and they play the Jets. They're at the Jets, which can be a pretty decent run defense. I would probably lean toward Beanie Wells. I was very impressed with him in week one. They play Washington, and I think Beanie Wells, I think I said it last week, I see Beanie Wells this year being like Darren McFadden last year, a guy who was a first-round pick a couple of years ago, disappointing first couple of years. I think he's going to have a solid run here. It's close probably between those two, Beanie Wells and Jones-Drew. I'm going to give a slight edge to Wells. I would definitely go with both above Ben Tate, though, no question about that.
Garrett on my Facebook page says, who's the better matchup against San Diego, Hernandez or Gronk? Both got both on my fantasy team. See, to me, they're both going to do well. I mean, run a tape of last week against Miami. I mean, those guys,
you line both of those, if both of those guys are on the field at the same time, or one of them is on the field with some combination of Branch and Welker, mm-hmm. and you've got Woodhead in the backfield, there is not a defense in the league that has the horses to match up with all those guys, especially considering when they line up in different places. You don't know what they're doing. I think, you know, it's not like every game will be like Miami where they both have close to 100 yards and one or two touchdowns. It's not going to be like that. There are going to be weeks where you say, this is a Hernandez week, and it ends up being Gronk. Or this is a Gronk week, and it ends up being Hernandez.
But Gronk is more of the touchdown guy of the two.
I couldn't agree more.
Right now, anyway. I mean, Hernandez could have had two last week. You know, they barely tapped him at the 1 yard line. He could have easily had two last week. And Gronkowski had 10 last year as a rookie.
I think Gronkowski, I definitely think will have more touchdowns than Hernandez. I think there's a chance Hernandez has more catches. There's a chance Hernandez has more yards, but I think Gronkowski gets more touchdowns. If I have both guys on my team and I can only start one, most weeks I'm going to go Gronk because I just think there's more explosive potential as far as touchdowns go. But if you have either one of them and either one of them is your number one tight end, feel safe going with either one.
Let me ask you a real amateurish, idiotic, stupid Pete Shepard fantasy question. Play at the end of the game last week when Brady goes 99.5 or whatever it is to Welker.
Yeah.
Can a play like that nearly single-handedly win you a game, win you a beat an opponent on that one play?
Well,
you get a ton of points for a play like that,
right? Well, here's the thing. In a lot of leagues, you get, say, 6 points for a touchdown, whether it's a quarterback throwing it or a receiver catching it. And plus the yards. So let's say for Welker, that right there would probably be 15 yards. Now, some leagues, maybe for receiving, you get 1 point for every 20 yards or whatever. But most likely, that's going to be somewhere between 10 and 15 points, that alone. I've been in leagues where, and this is a little more unconventional, where you get an escalating number of points based on length of touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
2 points for a touchdown from 1 to 10 yards. 4 points, 11, 20, and so on. In a league like that, a 99-yard touchdown.
It's only been done 13
a handful
times
of times
or whatever in NFL history.
A 99-yard touchdown would be, I think, 20 points for the touchdown plus the yardage.
Wow.
That could be somewhere in the 30-point range for either the quarterback or the wide receiver. Now, that's an unconventional sort of system that I've seen. But most likely, if you have Welker, that was a 15-point play. If you have Brady, that was probably, again, depending on the yardage, a 10 to 15-point play. And think about it. That was late Monday night. So, you know, let's say you had Brady on your team.
And if you had both. You win.
Let's say you had both.
How do you lose?
You may have been down from Sunday. You may have been just beside yourself, down by 40 points.
Yeah, Chris Johnson, he sucked. I mean,
exactly.
Adrian Peterson was
exactly.
And
then you have Brady
you
as your quarterback, and you have
night.
Welker. Yep. And if you went to bed before that thinking, oh, I'm down by 30, you wake up the next day, absolutely, a play like that can absolutely single-handedly win you.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's great. Mike says, start him or sit him in his league. His lineup and Anyone from the bench you think should be starting? No, here we go. Quarterback Tom Brady versus San Diego.
I mean, definitely.
That's
no...
please. Kevin Cobb versus Washington.
Well, if you only start one, there's no reason to even ask the question.
Yeah, exactly. Chris Johnson versus Baltimore. Darren McFadden versus Buffalo. That's interesting.
Yeah, you know, those are both, you can't.
We can figure out the Raiders. That's the problem.
Right. Well, you can't sit Chris Johnson yet. I know it's against Buffalo, but you cannot sit Chris Johnson.
Against Baltimore.
Against Baltimore. Yep. You can't sit him. Darren McFadden against Buffalo, I think that's a good matchup because Buffalo, decent run defense. They did a good job, but you know Oakland's going to run the ball. You know they're going to run the ball unless they're down by 30. They're going to run the ball a lot more than they pass. I think McFadden at this point in his career is good enough that you start him every week. I don't know who are the rest of his running backs because so far it's
those
definitely
are the two he has.
Well,
those
that's definitely Johnson and McFadden.
Yeah, I think so. Wide receivers, so he's got Hakeem Nicks versus St. Louis, Robert Meacham versus Chicago, and Nate Burleson versus Kansas City.
Well, Nicks is hurt, and it sounds like that's a very much questionable situation. They don't play till Monday night, so there's a little bit of wiggle room there. Mm-hmm. I love Meacham this week, though. I absolutely love Robert Meacham. Colston.
I'm with you.
And you've talked about the Saints. You can't go wrong.
That's going to be one of my, I'm debating whether that's my Pete Shepard miraculous lock of the week. I have that one, another one. But I think New Orleans is going to destroy Chicago. Yeah. I don't know what Atlanta ate for breakfast before that game last week in Chicago that they puked all over themselves so badly. But I just think.
I don't think Chicago's that good.
I don't either. I think New Orleans is going to destroy them on Sunday. I think they'll put up a lot of points.
And Colston is out for at least 4 weeks. Yeah. And The Saints will be passing the football. That's their forte. And I think with Colston out, that moves Robert Meacham up a notch. It moves Devery Henderson up a notch. Not sure on Lance Moore yet because he was out. But I think in the Superdome, their home opener, you know, they obviously played well against Green Bay but lost the game. I think they're going to blow out the Bears. But I still and I think the wide receivers are going to do well. I think Meacham has a big game. So, you got to watch out on Nicks there, but it was Nicks, Meacham, and who else?
And Burleson. Nate Burleson versus Kansas City.
Yeah, Burleson doesn't excite me, but if those are your three, I'm not sure if there's anyone on the bench, but those three, I mean, definitely Meacham, watch out on Nicks, and Burleson, he's ho-hum.
And tight end, he's got Gronkowski. We already talked about that. That's a given.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a given. Flex, any position, including quarterback, he's got Reggie Bush versus Houston.
Not a bad matchup for Bush. I think what we saw with Bush against the Patriots, you know, he didn't have
he didn't
have an enormous game, but I think it's pretty clear that as long as he's healthy, they're going to get him the ball, running, passing. I think against Houston, that's a pretty good matchup for him. I would feel fairly comfortable with Bush.
Yeah, I got to assume people realize that his yardage, 75% of it is going to come from catching the ball.
Yeah.
Because he, again, already proven after week one. There's no way this guy's going to be able to carry the ball for significant yard 20, 25 times a game. It's not his game. It's not his style. He's either going to get killed, hurt, or, they're going to wear him down. That is not his game, is to run 20 times a game.
No, but if you're in a point-per-reception league, you love it. And the total yardage, I think this could be a game where he gets 100 total yards, one way or the other, and, maybe he finds the end zone. I'm sure Bush's fantasy owners weren't thrilled that Chad Henne got the rushing touchdown there in the beginning of the game, but that's the way it goes.
Defense, he says, St. Louis and Detroit.
St. Louis at the Giants, Detroit. You probably have to go Detroit hosting Kansas City. You know, just kind of a really bad vibe when it comes to Kansas City. I mean, that's an embarrassing loss
totally,
at home,
completely
at home to Buffalo. And
sometimes that can be a blessing in disguise for the team that got blown out.
We've seen it could be
against a team like put it this way, against the spread, I have Kansas City covering that game only because. I'm going to go with the pride of Matt Castle and company to kind of, not to say they're going to win, but somewhat redeem themselves. But that could be an ugly game. That could be 12-9.
And Detroit, it could be. Detroit is not good enough to feel really satisfied from just having one week one win. But I think there's some momentum with Detroit. They're a team a little bit on the rise. So I would say Detroit's defense is probably the safer bet than St. Louis this week.
And the other thing I worry about with St. Louis, if you have them on defense, is you got Bradford and Jackson. Bradford, they say he's probably going to play, but how good is he going to be? And if he can't, You know, and
Amendola's out too. They just said it. I'm watching the TV what? In here.
Amendola.
Yeah, and that's. I mean, in fact, I think we talked about him last week, and he was That's a great story when he was tried out with Dallas as a quarterback.
Yeah,
and he went through hell and everything else. So he's out. And I think St. Louis's backup running back, whose name escapes me.
Well, it's Cadillac Williams.
He's out,
I think he's healthy.
I thought one of their other backs got hurt on Sunday. I can't remember.
Someone else got hurt, but Cadillac Williams came in. Yeah. Played very well.
But that could be scary about who they have. I could set their defense in pretty bad shape because their
right
offense might be stagnant
as well.
Cadillac Williams, he's probably been picked up in just about every fantasy league because he's probably the highest rated free agent running back in your league. But if you have an opportunity to get him, he's worth picking up because if Jackson ends up being out a while, you know, Cadillac, he did pretty well for himself in week one. And he's a pretty good free agent pickup.
Fantasy question from Craig. Craig says, hi everyone. Quick question. And I'm in a tough quarterback spot this week. Something we just talked about. Would you start Sam Bradford or Cam Newton? My team is pretty solid other than QB. So if there's any risk Bradford will not start, I was thinking Newton might be a better choice.
Well, you know, I think Newton's going to come down to earth a little bit against Green Bay this week. I really do. He's obviously not going to match what he did last week, 400 whatever yards. They are at home. You know, Green Bay's defense is vulnerable, but there's a big difference between being vulnerable against a Drew Brees, who is a pretty savvy quarterback, and a Cam Newton. But that is a very tough decision.
Well, let's not forget Arizona's defense last week either. That's not
exactly.
That's just, you know.
This will be something different for Cam Newton. Certainly, if Bradford was healthy, I'd say definitely go Bradford over Newton, even though he's losing some of his guys. It's on the road. There's an excitement level with Newton. You'd hate to have him on your bench if he does
do
well.
To me, it's overblown already. And Mel Kiper today, this week, embarrassing after one game. But this guy, God, he's going to be great.
Yeah.
Don't use great and Cam Newton in the same sentence.
No.
And just because Green Bay gave up 34 points to New Orleans,
right. If
you think, I mean, barring any major fumbles or something, they really shoot themselves in the foot. If you think Cam Newton's going to put up 34 points against Green Bay,
no
I think you're sadly mistaken.
Yeah,
I mean, anything is possible, but people are going crazy as usual about this guy.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be in for quite a few letdowns this year.
Right.
Trust me.
I think, you know, Bradford, it looks like Bradford will start. It might not be a smooth operation for him, but I could see Cam Newton finishing that game, maybe with some yards, but with like three interceptions. I wouldn't be surprised by that. Green Bay getting into, you know, Green Bay will have had 10 days now to prepare for Cam Newton, and Green Bay is not going to let a rookie like him. I'd probably lean toward Bradford in that situation.
Well, it's out to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. I'm going to check in with my buddy Poker Mike. Hey Mike, you're on once again with yours truly and the legendary football guru like yourself, Brian Lowe. How's
Poker
it going,
Mike? How are you?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's going on?
Not much.
So we talked a little bit last night at the charity poker event. By the way, another one coming up in Foxborough tonight. I'll talk about that at the end of the show for charity.
Yeah.
I talked to you a little bit about some of your players last night. Why don't you share with Brian how what you thought of the opening week as far as fantasy football goes?
Yeah.
I mean, there was just definitely some good, some bad, some ugly.
Sure.
You know, it was just a heck of a week, though. I'm very happy to say that I'm starting out 1-0 in both of my leagues.
Congratulations.
I was curious to see how your teams fared there, Mr. Lowe.
You know, I had a solid week. As I said last week, I'm in four leagues. And I was 3-1 in week one. 3-1. So I was very pleased with my output. I had Kenny Britt I have in two leagues, dominant. Rob Gronkowski in two leagues. That was huge for me. Drew Brees in one league. So I did pretty well. I have to be happy with the 3-1 start. Got a few injury concerns. Actually, the one of the leagues that I did win, I have Arian Foster. Arian Foster was my first round pick. I got him late. I got him eighth overall because we had our draft on the late side, so he slipped a little bit, took the risk, took him, did not start him, was able to have picked up Derek Ward, and my two running backs were Derek Ward and Beanie Wells, and that ended up working out well for me. So,
quite well.
All in all, I was pretty pleased with week one.
Absolutely. Well, I have to say, I mean, going off of what we talked about last week, we had a little Ray Rice conversation.
Yep.
I mean, I know it's just one week, but against outstanding defense, I'd have to say that the $70 that I spent in my auction draft, I think it paid off, gentlemen.
Not bad. I think Ray Rice is going to continue having a really strong year. I think he could have a big one even against Tennessee on the road this week.
I think this week, guys, one of the trap fantasy plays And there's going to be a lot of people that fall into it just because of his name. And you know what I'm going to say? Michael Vick. And I think this is one of those games where, I mean, the Falcons were embarrassed last week. And here you have one of the top fantasy popular players out there, Michael Vick, going up against an angry Atlanta team at home as a 2.5-point underdog at home, 3 points in some places, with a still, in my opinion, very shaky offensive Eagles line, even though, you know, they won last week. But I think a lot of that had to do with the injuries St. Louis incurred during that game. I think this could be a dangerous game for those who go crazy with Michael Vick on Sunday. And a lot of people just love Michael. They're going to play him anyway because they think he's going to, you know, do whatever.
And you wonder, in Atlanta, where's his head at?
Exactly.
You know, what kind of a crowd is there?
Totally.
Does that play a role? Can't rule that out as well.
Yep.
What was that?
The fans in Atlanta, they love them there. So.
Oh, love them.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. So, I mean, some say they do, but we'll see. We'll see.
That could be.
Pete, I'll chime in on the whole Vic situation. I mean, obviously, I do not have Vic in either of my teams, but, you know, having LeSean McCoy being my featured back, you know, I've just, you know, you have to look at the good teams. And I think just, you know, over the years, just doing, you know, participating in fantasy football, you know, yes, there's some, you know, there's players that play for poor teams that, you know, they're serviceable and they get it done for you. But, you know, a team like Philadelphia is just so powerful. You know, regardless of who they're playing, even in a tough matchup, you know, you have to roll with them. You can't say, oh, well, this is going to be the week that I think he's just going to slip up a little bit. And again, I'm sure there'll be weeks that, you know, he doesn't, you know, run for 100 yards and, you know, score 4 touchdowns. But, you know, just the caliber of player that he is, as long as he stays healthy, you know, it's a must start, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. You can't bench Michael Vick.
Yeah.
I mean, you can only bench Michael Vick if you somehow have Vick and Drew Brees on the
team. I didn't say bench.
No, I know.
I just think it should be a cause of concern for many people.
But I'll tell you what, you know, along those lines, and I mentioned this earlier, Jamaal Charles is a guy who, you know, it's hard to say don't start him, but I think he's going to struggle this week. I think I don't have a good feeling about the Kansas City offense. They're going into Detroit, an up-and-coming defense with a tough defensive line. You drafted Jamaal Charles in the first round. He's healthy. You're not going to sit him, but I think he's going to struggle this week. And
he's actually my keeper in my other league. So needless to say, it was a little frustrating. Well, thankfully, the rest of the crew came through, but Jamaal Charles was definitely.
Well, yeah, and I'm overall pretty high on Jamaal Charles, and I certainly was coming into this year. But there had to be some red flags raised in that game for Kansas City. You know, there's just a terrible vibe going as far as that team goes overall. You know, they lost Tony Moiaki, tight end, who I was really high on. I thought he would maybe be the focal point of that offense this year. You know, defensively, they lose Eric Berry. They lost some stars. They got absolutely humiliated at home in week one. But again, it's too early in the season to bench your stars if they're healthy, even though some of them might have some tough matchups.
Right.
Well, who are you guys looking at this week? What do you think is an obvious choice, and what do you think is going to be? I mean, I think anybody who plays in the Patriots San Diego game, that's an offensive stud, is going to be productive. So I think there's going to be points left and right for fantasy football and in real life football. I just think it's going to be absolutely crazy. What are you looking at, like, as surprises this week that could shine that many people might not be talking about?
Well, I'll tell you what. I have a feeling Cleveland is licking its chops going up against Indianapolis based on what Houston did. I think Houston's offense is a little more advanced than Cleveland's. But I think Colt McCoy is going to have has an opportunity for a sneaky good game. Obviously, the focus is on Indy's offense and how much they're going to be sputtering or how much they did sputter. But I'm not overly impressed with their defense either. I think Cleveland's offense has a chance for a sneaky good week this week. I think Hillis is going to have a pretty solid afternoon. I think it starts with him. But I think Colt McCoy is going to have a decent one too. I think that's a sneaky good one. And then, you know, I mentioned this one to you earlier, you know, Robert Meacham.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's other guys along those lines. I think Jabbar Gaffney, you know, he had a touchdown the other day. I think there's some rejuvenation there with Rex Grossman. I don't see Rex Grossman being a consistent week-in, week-out guy fantasy-wise, but I think Jabbar Gaffney is going to be maybe the top receiving candidate for Washington. So there's a couple for me. I mean, other than the obvious ones, there's obviously, you know, we've talked about some of the obvious players that you want to start and you want to roll with, but those are a couple that, you know, just looking at some of the matchups that stand out to me.
Yeah, and you know what, Brian, Pete had said we had a conversation last night. You know, we have this discussion here, you know, for those fantasy owners out there listening. you know, you don't want us, if we have to tell you that you should be starting Adrian Peterson and Chris Johnson,
right.
you probably should be looking for another hobby.
Here on this show, we respect our listeners enough to know that they know Adrian Peterson's got to start.
You know, so, I mean, basically here what we're doing is, you know, we're looking for just those, not sleepers, but just those guys that just, you know, either they have the right matchup. You know, I'm huge on guys that just have upside. Do I want to base my team around them? Not necessarily, because, you know, they might disappoint you more often than not. You know, you guys have been talking about the San Diego pass matchup this week. You know, tons of points. There's just no way around it. You know, I'm kind of on the fence with a guy like Mike Tolbert. Had a great week, two receiving touchdowns, and in my league, the running back receptions and touchdowns are worth more points. You know, but, you know, you still got Ryan Matthews. They're looming, you know.
Very similar to Woodhead. Yeah, I think those two guys, we talked about this yesterday with the beat writer from Scott Blair from San Diego, and it's a very similar to what Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Danny Woodhead do as a tandem. So that's probably tough for fantasy players.
Yeah, well, last year the San Diego running back situation was a frustrating one. And I drafted Ryan Matthews in one of my leagues. I just thought, you know, losing LaDainian Tomlinson, trading up to draft Ryan Matthews in the first round, I thought he was going to be a beast. But he gets hurt early on, just never able to get into a rhythm. Mike Tolbert steps in, becomes a productive guy, and as the season is going on, a coach like North Turner isn't going to say, oh, we drafted Ryan Matthews. Oh, he's healthy now. We're going to plug him in and run with him. If Mike Tolbert's doing well, he's going to go with Mike Tolbert. He's got to win games. And Tolbert was a good touchdown guy, not a huge yardage guy week in, week out. And by the time both were healthy, it was a tough one. It was a real, real struggle there. And I'm sensing we're getting the same sort of vibe out of San Diego this year. I mean, Tolbert was a beast last week, three touchdowns overall. That's going to be another frustrating one this year, I think, the whole San Diego running back situation. I think Tolbert and Matthews had the same number of carries last week, but Tolbert had 9 catches. There were quite a few running backs that had really good receiving numbers. If a running back is targeted 9 times, that's a pretty good sign that he's going to be a playmaker for your team one way or the other. So, you know, the edge goes to Tolbert right now. Matthews, a bit of a down arrow, but that, you know, that still remains to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And this week in particular, tough to really feel, you know, really feel good about Matthews. I'd say Tolbert is a guy you'd want to start because, especially, you know, he might not get a ton of rushing yards, but if he's going to be that much a part of the passing game, you got to start him against the Patriots.
Absolutely.
The one matchup I'm looking at, too, that could be good and that probably a lot of people don't have a lot of the Washington-Arizona game, the Arizona-Washington game intrigues me, I think, from a fantasy point because I think there's a lot of points to be scored in that game as well.
Yeah.
If Grossman can keep, you know, playing halfway decent like he has been.
Yeah, I'm not wild about the Arizona passing offense yet. Fitzgerald.
No, I'm talking about more of the Washington side.
Yeah, the Washington side. Hightower was impressive. Hightower, and I know you were. I think we were all.
Yeah.
Kind of. We were all.
Mike
was. Mike
was. Sleeper.
I was. I tempered my enthusiasm for Hightower, but what I found about that game was, in fact, in looking at the box scores of every game this weekend, I don't know if there was a bigger discrepancy on any other team in terms of number of carries for the number one running back and number of carries for the number two. Hightower had something like 25 carries, and I think Roy Helu had 1 or something like that. It was, I think that's what it was, 25-1. That's a rarity these days. And Pete, we were talking about that last week, how so many teams have 2. The fact that Hightower had 25 and the only other guy on the team that had any carries was Helu with 1, Hightower is the focal point of that offense. Hightower is the focal point of that offense. It might depend on the matchups, how much production he's going to have, but you got to start him because if a guy's going to get 25 carries, you know, as a fantasy owner, you don't care what the average yards per carry is. If a guy gets 25 carries and has 75 yards and a touchdown,
he
had a 3 yards per carry average. Who cares?
Doesn't
I don't
matter,
care about
I guess,
that.
Yeah.
I want the 75 yards and the touchdown. He gets 25 carries, you start him.
Which, and I mean, obviously, and again, I wasn't going to toot my own horn. But
feel free. Feel free.
Everybody does on the
show.
Oh,
it's fine.
Again. Anyways.
I do. I will after
this. I mean, you have to, you look at the carries, you know, the featured back, obviously, you know, high on him. But, you know, 25 carries for 72 yards. You know, he did punch one in from a yard out, I believe.
Yeah.
He also had 3 receptions.
Yep.
You know, that Washington offense, we ranked on Grossman last week, but, you know, I just think I actually have Santana Moss in one of my leagues. Not a huge fan, you know, but these guys, they just have the potential to get it done for you. And I just think, you know, obviously there'll be matchups that Hightower just, you know, he's not there. I mean, look at this past weekend. The game began first half, you know, the expectations were super high. He comes out in the second half and he kind of throws in a dud.
Yep.
You know, so it's just it's hit or miss with a team like that. But I'm with you with the whole Washington offense.
Yeah, and here's another one. Fred Davis, the tight end, mm-hmm. kind of an under-the-radar one because there's a lot of really good tight ends in the league right now. But Fred Davis is a guy who you might even be able to get on the waiver wire. If you don't have an elite tight end, he's a guy worth picking up. I think he's he's kind of a beast. He's kind of, again, under the radar, but look for him too.
And last, before I let you go, Mike, one more comment, one more game with Brian here. I think it's an interesting game from a fantasy football standpoint, one that maybe many people aren't looking at. But Dallas at San Francisco. And how frustrating a guy can Tony Romo be if you have him on your fantasy team? I know how frustrating he is watching him in the NFL to puke that game away like he did last Sunday night. But those kind of plays just kill you as a fantasy owner, too.
An interception, you know, a fumble, an interception, you know, both of those, you're probably going to lose points. Not to mention the potential points that you could have gotten on those drives if he didn't make these bonehead mistakes. Mm-hmm. You know, if he doesn't throw that interception toward Revis, I mean, you know, maybe he gets a little more yardage and maybe a fluky touchdown. If he doesn't fumble the ball, you definitely lose points, but you also lose opportunities. Sure. And that's where it is. And, Romo is an odd guy in terms of, you know, how much is a game like that going to affect him going forward? Because you figure Miles Austin owners are worried a little bit. Dez Bryant owners are worried a little bit. And, you know, there's an opportunity against San Francisco, for Dallas to, you know, get on rhythm. I'm not overly impressed with San Fran. So, I think Romo might still have it in him to have a big year, but how can you make these mistakes?
Exactly.
You cannot make these mistakes.
And also sticking with that game right there on the San Francisco side, just to throw in a pick of mine.
Yeah.
A guy like Frank Gore, you know, literally under 60 yards. He had a couple receptions, I believe. But, you know, playing a Dallas team that's kind of shell-shocked from what they went through last week.
Yeah.
You know, as far as Frank Gore goes, you know, he's not my start of the week. But I think he's a guy that, you know, I think he makes his owners a little bit more content than this week than what he did last week.
Yeah, Gore's a solid, you know, as long as he's healthy. He's a solid player for San Fran. He's a must-start. Yeah,
absolutely.
Hey, Michael, thanks a lot. I'll see you in a couple hours, and I'll talk about the charity event at the end of the show.
All right, Jeff. Hey. Thank you very much. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks
all right,
a lot.
Buddy. Thanks all right. a lot. That's my buddy Poker Mike, who's just one of the great guys. He's a huge fantasy football guy like you are. Let's take a quick break because we're going to reset the computer, and then we'll come back and we've got a bunch of emails for you.
Perfect.
And I'll get to, in the second half of the show, we'll talk about the Patriots and the Chargers, and I'll answer all the questions. And my buddy Michael Smith, who's just such a huge Packer fan, it's great. He's a great guy. I love his passion, but it doesn't matter what the Patriots do. It just doesn't matter that the Packers snuck in. I mean, they had to win two games last year to get the playoffs, and yes, they made the most of it and won the Super Bowl. And he refuses to believe that they won by 8 points and had a chance to actually lose that game on last Thursday night. It just doesn't sink in because Sean Payton made a bonehead call at the goal line with that stupid call.
That was a stupid
bonehead
call.
And an earlier call on a fourth and inches as well. And two stupid calls and a fumble really cost New Orleans that game because I really thought they should have won the game outright.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean Green Bay is a bad team. They're a great team. They are the defending Super Bowl champions. That's why they and the Patriots, by the way, are both favored. So, you know, you want to talk about overall team, flip a coin right now. That's just the way it is. I'm not saying last year was last year. You know, I can bring up 2004 and 2003, 2007. Right. I can bring up the fact that Green Bay barely beat Detroit last year in Detroit.
Right.
And a couple of other games that they barely won. This is this year. They're two great teams. And, you know, it's funny. But we'll get into all of that later on. We've got more fantasy football with the Lowdown with Brian Lowe coming up. And your questions right here on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the paths are driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
What will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revive.
Cool.
You have to fly to China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Oh, yeah.
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the big and toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face." Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donut stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Pete Shepherd.
Pete Shepherd.
The Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.
We're back here on the Pete Shepherd Show, Patriots.com, live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. This is the lowdown with our fantasy football guru, Brian Lowe. And you can get to us at WebRadioWithPatriots.com. Call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Lots of emails for you, Brian, so let's bang them out right here. Craig says, "Hello, everyone. Quick question. I'm in a tough quarterback situation this week." We had this one. Well, did that come up? The Sam Bradford, Cam Newton?
Yep, we had that one.
I'm sorry, my bad. Chad says, "Hey, Brian and Pete, I'd like to have Brian's expertise on my team if I can win any points. I've got Tom Brady, Cobb, Law Firm, Hightower, Beanie Wells, Danny Woodhead, Wes Welker, Devery Henderson, Deion Branch, Julio Jones, Santana Moss, Gronk,
yep,
Aaron Hernandez, New England Pats defense, but Texans are still in FA. Sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah. Well, the running backs
there. Patriots defense, it might be some trouble.
Yeah, Patriots defense. But let's just go on the running backs. It sounded like he's got both Patriots guys and then Beanie Wells and Hightower. The safest plays are probably, well, Wells and Hightower go against each other, which is interesting. You just worry with Law Firm and Woodhead.
Yeah.
you know, they might kind of cancel each other out. Neither one of them might have a big game. It might be like Miami, where the team has a big game. I mean, Green Ellis had a touchdown. I'd probably go Green Ellis over Woodhead.
For the touchdown.
Yeah. But I'd probably feel safer with Wells and Hightower mm-hmm. above either one of the Patriots. And then, what are the wideouts again?
Deion Branch, Julio Jones, Santana Moss, he's got Gronkowski in there and Hernandez at tight ends.
Yeah. You know, not overwhelmed there by the
Wes
wide receivers.
Welker, Wes Welker.
Welker and Branch. I mean, Julio Jones, I don't know what to think on him yet because I just don't think, you know, rookie wide receiver, not quite there yet. He had I think he had a decent, debut, but, you probably want to go with the two Patriots guys. See, that's the difference between the wide receiver and the running back. You have both top Patriot wide receivers. You probably want to play both. You have both top Patriot running backs. You might want to play neither one. However, you're going to be extremely Patriot heavy if you have Gronkowski as well, both Patriots receivers. That's a lot of Patriots. You know, they'll probably all be good, but what if there's a, you know, what if it's just a bad day for the Patriots?
Well, it could. All it takes is one turnover on either side, and all of a sudden those fantasy numbers can get skewed a little bit.
And the Patriots defense, I don't think I'd feel comfortable with the Patriots defense.
No, not in this game.
You take a look at who's available in your league and see if, I'm trying to, you know, in terms of a good one to pick up. I mean, if Detroit's available, I like Detroit's defense in this week. As far as under the radar defenses that might be available, you know, there's one for you. But Patriots defense, not quite. I wouldn't feel too comfortable.
How many people are in his league that he got that team?
Well, there aren't too many studs. I mean, who are the quarterback? The quarterback was a stud.
He had Brady and Cobb.
So, you know, who's his first round pick? That's my question. Who's the first round pick? Probably Brady.
Yeah, probably Brady.
Probably Brady, but you know, Brady in the first round. Maybe Beanie Wells was the second round pick. I don't know. I don't think it's an unbelievable team.
Not unbelievable, but a lot of really.
A lot
solid
of like
players.
4th through 6th round draft picks. You know, Wells, Hightower, Gronkowski, Branch. I don't know.
Welker,
I'm not sure. Welker. Yeah,
it's a strong offensive team.
Yeah.
Jason Illinois says, hey, Pete and Brian, wondering if you could take a look at my wide receiver position for this week. It's a non-PPR league. I have 3 wide receiver slots with the following players: Lee Evans, Johnny Knox, Jeremy Maclin, Deion Branch, Devery Henderson. Any advice you could give would be great.
Well, I'm not too high on, I was high on Lee Evans going into last week. Now he's a little banged up. I just don't think he's one of the top options at this point. I wouldn't be thrilled about him. Johnny Knox, I just think that Chicago wide receiver position is just too up in the air. I think, you know, last week they had, I know Forte had the most targets, among the passing game, and I don't think anybody had a real explosive day. I'd probably go Branch. I might go Branch, Henderson, and Maclin. Like Pete and I both said, high on those healthy New Orleans receivers. I think Henderson, Meacham, they're both pretty good. Maclin, you know, I don't know. I don't know about Maclin. Maybe I'd lean toward Johnny Knox over Maclin because Maclin seems to be pretty slowed. And, DeSean Jackson's obviously the number one guy there. I'd probably go Branch, Henderson, maybe a slight edge to Johnny Knox, Chicago, this week against New Orleans. You know, New Orleans, you know, has the opportunity to give up some points. I'm not wild about Chicago's offense, but maybe I'd go Branch, Henderson, and Knox.
Dan from Hopkinton says, hi guys, quarterback. Quick question, by the way.
Yeah.
Quarterback, Josh Freeman. I'll go through all this 3 questions, basically. Quarterback, Josh Freeman or Ben Roethlisberger?
Josh Freeman at Minnesota, Ben Roethlisberger home against Seattle. I like Roethlisberger. I like Pittsburgh to have a bounce back, game. I think they're too good, too well coached, too many veteran players to have another stinker at home against a poor team like Seattle. I'd probably go with Roethlisberger. Although I feel fairly good about Freeman this week, against Minnesota as well, but I'd give edge Roethlisberger.
Flex, Felix Jones or Sproles?
Great question there, because Sproles, how impressive was he?
I liked him when he was at the Chargers. He's just a good. He and Michael Turner have always loved. I've always loved.
And going to be perfect for San Diego. Who was it again? Sproles and who?
Felix Jones.
Sproles and Felix Jones. I mean, Felix Jones against San Fran. Boy, Sproles is just so appealing in that just all-purpose yardage. Jones, though, is the number one ball carrier. It's kind of hard to pass up, you know, a number one ball carrier for a guy who. A guy like Sproles who, you know, might just get, you know, not the main, not, might just, might not be the main guy. Might have to give the edge to Felix Jones, but I'm hesitant on that because I think Sproles was just so impressive in that New Orleans offense. But go with Jones, a little bit safer.
Last one, wide receiver Vincent Jackson or Macklin?
Oh, no questions, Vincent Jackson. That's really any week. I mean, Vincent Jackson, the number one receiver for one of the best quarterbacks, one of the best offenses. Macklin, we need to see a little more of a sample size before we feel good about Macklin with Philly. Definitely Vincent Jackson.
And what a matchup that's going to be with McCourty. What a matchup that's going to be this week with McCourty.
It's just
a fascinating game. I mean, the Patriots have had their number four of the last five, including playoffs. But that, you know, again, throw it out.
Right. Keep in mind, though, you know, last year's game, you remember last year's game?
Ugliest game of the
year. Ugly
game.
The Patriots' worst offensive game of the year.
Yeah.
They won that game because of San Diego turnovers and getting great field position.
Remember, San Diego.
Stupidity. It was one of the sloppiest games. Special teams, they were terrible. And the Patriots almost lost it. They were ahead, I think it was 20-3 going into the fourth quarter, and they won 23-20.
They did.
Yeah. You know, so,
and that was when Chris Brown hit the upright, could have tied the game.
Exactly. Long field goal. Could have tied the game. So, you know, San Diego's defense is pretty good, but, and the Patriots defense has some potential, but definitely Vincent Jackson. Got to go with him.
Rick in the Netherlands. See, we're going Dutch now, baby.
Boy.
We're going Dutch on you.
What time is it in the Netherlands?
It's got to be, what, 6 hours ahead? Seven hours ahead? Maybe?
Yeah, that's not that late.
That's good.
That's
10 o'clock. What is it? 10 o'clock at
11,
night.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, or 11 o'clock.
Something like that.
Any idea on Sidney Rice, tight end Finley, and Miles Austin? I have them in a few of mine, and not too many players in free agency. I want to take a guess on. Have a nice weekend, Rick, in the Netherlands.
Well, Sidney Rice, I know I saw something just before the show. He's a long shot, I think, to play, and I am really not high on Sidney Rice this year in general. I think he's a guy who made a mistake going to Seattle. Honestly, terrible quarterback situation. Bad weather. Sidney Rice, long shot to play. The others again were?
The others were Finley, tight end, and Miles Austin.
Yeah, you know, I feel good about Miles Austin. I know we talked about Romo a little bit. There's got to be a little bit of uncertainty, but I feel like Austin will be pretty good. And Finley, he'll be there. He'll be there. He'll be one of the top tight ends as this year goes on, but I'd stay away from Sidney Rice. Against Pittsburgh, too. I think Pittsburgh's defense, I think Pittsburgh overall is going to have a bounce back game. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, they should. They're favored by 14 points in that game, which is a big line
for Seattle's
this early
terrible.
In the season. I know Seattle is terrible. Just, boy.
Andrew Luck will be starting week one for Seattle next year.
Yeah, you would think so.
I think.
He's tremendous. I love his game. And, I've seen a few minutes of his games this year so far, but he's phenomenal.
Happy birthday to Pete Carroll, by the way.
Oh, today?
I think it's today, his 60th birthday.
Really?
But you might want to focus on game planning for Pittsburgh rather than too much birthday celebration. That's my opinion.
Well, there's a lot of, you know, again, I'm trying to think now. So who you've, you know, and then an ugly game. Well, could be potentially ugly for fantasy football. Because I know people like to, you know, when you have to bail out like some gamblers do.
Yeah.
You know, but but fantasy football players also have bailout games on Monday night.
Sure.
And the Giants-St. Louis game sucks.
Yeah.
What do you
kind
do there?
Kind of a letdown, huh?
What do you do there?
I don't know because, you know, you got, I think the Giants to me are kind of a ho-hum, boring kind of team. Especially, you know, Hakeem Nicks, it's a great jingle, but other than that, you know, Hakeem Nicks, is hurt, or might be hurt. I'm not sure yet what to think about him, but you know, I think Mario Manningham could have a decent performance. I'm not overly excited about Ahmad Bradshaw or Brandon Jacobs. And St. Louis, to me, going into the year, was a team on the rise, an intriguing fantasy team, but with the injuries that they had and the performance that they had, it's a little bit of a letdown. Yeah, you know, it's still so early in the season that, you know, I'll take any Monday Night Football. I'll be watching. Everybody's
going
to be watching.
Will. Absolutely.
But it's kind of a dull game. I'm with you. I don't see that as being the kind of fantasy football bonanza that we had this past Monday night. I don't see that at all. But, you know, a couple other thoughts just going through last week's box scores, thinking about, different guys for this week. You know, we talked about Chicago in terms of Johnny Knox, and I think Matt Forte can have a big game against New Orleans. He had the most targets, the most catches, or the most receiving targets. Mm-hmm. He's the focal point of that offense. Unless and until he gets completely worn down over the course of the season, I think Matt Forte is a guy who could be a centerpiece for that offense and for your fantasy team. I like him a lot. Sneaky guy here, Cincinnati. Their quarterback situation is so far up in the air, but Jerome Simpson, a guy that who's really heard of Jerome Simpson? He might be the number one wide receiver on that team right now until A.J. Green really gets into a groove. it's hard to rely and it's hard to really feel good about a Cincinnati wide receiver because the quarterback options are Andy Dalton or Bruce Gradkowski.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that game. I'm watching Red Zone Channel on Sunday, and they flipped to that game quite, and it was such a, I mean, and that's, I actually pitched Cincinnati to cover.
Yeah.
On my show last, at the end of the show last week, because I said, you know what, Cleveland shouldn't be favored by 6.5 over anybody yet.
No, no.
But they started naming names on Cincinnati. I'm like, who the hell are these people?
Yeah.
Who are these guys?
Who are these guys?
Who the hell knows who they, I didn't know half of them who they were.
Other than Cedric Benson.
Yeah.
You might not know
him.
I mean, who else, you know, who do you know? I mean, Jermaine Gresham was a high draft pick, but he's not an elite guy yet. And then you got Jerome Simpson. You've got Rishay Caldwell's brother, plays
there.
That's
right.
Brandon Tate. I mean, he didn't do anything at wide receiver, but he was their kickoff returner. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be surprised if he gets some opportunities at receiver at some point. But watch out for Jerome Simpson. Could be a sneaky wide receiver play going forward. Maybe even this week against Denver. Maybe. You know, a week ago when we were talking about the Green Bay New Orleans game, we haven't talked about Green Bay and the running back position yet here today. And the whole thing with Starks and Grant, I think it's pretty clear. Up arrow to Starks, down arrow to Grant.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to continue to see that. I think Starks will be the guy instead of Grant. And how about this guy, Scott Chandler? Two touchdowns, tight end for Buffalo, among the recipients of Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick was the number one rated quarterback. I mean, Brady had the best game. I mean, and you know, Rodgers right there, so was Drew Brees. But from quarterback rating wise, which, you know,
right, because he had no interceptions. He had four touchdowns, no interceptions,
40,
and a lot of yardage.
When's the last time Buffalo scored 40 plus points? I was trying to figure
at Arrowhead Stadium.
It wasn't. That's what I mean. At Arrowhead Stadium.
Arrowhead.
When is the last time that happened?
I don't
Buffalo
know.
Scored 41 points.
And if anything, you'd think, you know, if anything, over the last couple of years, they've had better running back production than wide receiver or than the passing game. You'd think if they win a game like that, it's just an explosive offense, explosive running game situation. Not so much in that day. Not so much.
A couple other questions for you, Brian.
Let's do it.
Thanks for the show. It's awesome. Says Sam. Kicker, Vinatieri or Gold?
I'd probably go Gold. I think Gold will have more opportunities in scoring range. I think Vinatieri, you know, it's all about opportunities for field goal for kickers.
He missed one last week.
And he missed one. I think Gold is probably the best bet over Vinatieri.
If I can drop Patriots defense, worth it for Houston defense?
You know, no. No. I mean, this week, Houston against Miami versus New England against San Diego. It might be flip a coin. I wouldn't drop the Patriots defense because I think, you know, there's going to be weeks where you're going to want to start him. Maybe even next week against Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about Fitzpatrick, but Patriots have Buffalo's number. I could see the Patriots defense doing decent against. I wouldn't drop New England's defense, but if you have an opportunity to drop someone else at another position and pick up another defense for this week, you might want to do it if you can afford to do that.
Below, how are you feeling about Ryan Matthews and Hightower this weekend? I feel like the Patriots Chargers will be a shootout. Not sure about Redskins and Cardinals, though. Thanks.
Well, I feel better about Hightower than I do about Matthews. And I just think Matthews right now is a little bit in no man's land. He's going to get some carries, but Tolbert's going to get a lot of carries. It's going to be more of a passing day for San Diego, and Tolbert is more part of the passing game. But Hightower is the guy for Washington right now. Until we see anything otherwise, ride Hightower. I'd go Hightower over Matthews.
Well, Brian, you're the man. I'm telling you, you are a plethora of unbelievable. Anything else? Any closer?
I'm not always
though.
Hang on. I'm not always right.
Well, who is in sports? That's why. That's
right.
Why,
right.
That's why they play the game.
It's just fun to talk some fantasy football, answer some questions. So
it's a lot of fun. In fact, I'm so into it. I mean, you get me into it. And next year, I'm probably definitely going to do.
You got
to
do it.
I don't know how. I talked to one guy playing poker. He's like in 15 leagues.
Really?
I get overwhelmed
with the four. But
I mean, four is like that would be like
high,
my tops.
Yeah,
I mean, because then it gets like then it's kind of like well, I mean then.
It
takes away
unwieldy.
A luster. Something's missing if you're in 15 leagues.
Right. It gets a little too unwieldy, but four is good.
So any closing thoughts on before you head out of here today?
I'll close with what I said at the beginning. I mean, just it's a quarterback and wide receivers. It's going to be quarterbacks and wide receivers ahead of the running backs. But what a fun first weekend it was. Starting with
the matchups helped, too.
Matchups helped. From Thursday night to Monday night, it was just a great weekend of football, a great weekend of fantasy football. I was happy with how my teams did, so that helped in my perspective on the weekend. Hopefully everybody else is getting some good advice here this hour, and on we go to week two.
Interesting week two, schedule-wise. No divisional contest this week.
Great point. That was part of the sort of factoring in the lockout and just in case need to miss some weeks, it'll be easier to reschedule games. So.
Brian Lowe is here every Thursday right here on the Pete Shepherd Show doing the fantasy football lowdown. Nobody better in the business than Brian Lowe. So,
well, thanks, Pete.
We'll see you next Thursday.
Have a good rest. Have a good next hour. We'll see you next week.
All right. Thank you very much. Coming up next, more phone calls and all your Facebook messages. We're going to get into heavily the, I might have one more question here for you. Do you mind? One more thing.
I won't take the headsets off.
I'm trying to think. Here we go. What up, my dogs? I miss you. All hope been staying fly like a helicopter, but let me cut to the chase. Cat is free in my fantasy league. This is from Slim Jim, by the way. It might be one of your peeps, Slim Jim. It is. It's a PPR. Is he worth a snag? Willis McGahee. No. No, Sean could be blown over like a breeze. Is Willis
I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
Is Willis capable of developing to starter level? Got to brush my teeth. I'm an Audi. Going to remote start my Audi. Peace, I'm Audi. Slim the gym.
I think
hope
he's
you
Audi.
Me. Long time from down South Carolina.
I think we've had this email. Not one of my peeps, but I think I think an emailer from the past. just quickly, I don't think Willis McGahee has much value at all unless there's a long-term reason from the No-Sean Moreno perspective to add him. I don't think there's much value right now. It's more Moreno.
All right, get out of here.
All right, I'm out. All right.
Thanks a lot. Take a quick break. We are broadcasting live on the Pete Shepherd Show from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. I'm going to get your Facebook messages as well, PETESHEPPARD, and the A-Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Coming up a little bit, I will have all my picks again because this week is free because last week I only went 50%, 7-7-2. But I did hit my Pete the Meat miraculous pick of the week with the Dallas Cowboys plus the number. And I've got two games going back and forth on which what I'm going to decide which one will be in the end. But with a quick break, come back with more right after this on Patriots.com.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown! Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89155 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
What will that be on?
That's it.
Go Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health. Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revise.
Cool.
You have to fly to China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the big and toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face." Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
And welcome back to the second hour of the Pete Shepherd Show, final hour this week. And I will be here Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday most times, except when the Patriots have a Monday night game. And that doesn't happen again until, November against Kansas City. So for the most part, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of every week between 4 and 6 p.m. right here on Patriots.com. And so much to get to. We're going to get back into the Patriots and the Chargers and break that down. I still got some thoughts on Brewski and Ocho Cinco and Tom Brady's comments yesterday that people are completely blown out of proportion. Just absolutely crazy. Oh, no. The stupid St. Louis Rams. And again, you got to really see it's the audio was bad enough yesterday, but you got to see the video to really appreciate how stupid it is, how embarrassing it is, and how the state of Missouri should be embarrassed. I do want to remind everybody tonight, don't forget, coming up on NFL Network tonight is A Football Life with Bill Belichick at 9 o'clock, and then they're repeating it again at 10 o'clock. Part 1 is tonight, part 2 is next week. You do not want to miss it. That's all I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to get into it at all because I know some of the stuff that's going to happen. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss it. That's Bill Belichick of Football Life coming up tonight. If you're not home, DVR it or find a way to DVR it. I'm sure it'll be repeated again tonight at 10 right afterwards, and I'm sure it'll be on countless times this week on the NFL Network. But it's all about Bill Belichick being mic'd up for the 2009 season. Most people didn't know about it. And there's some very, very interesting stuff on there. And a side to Bill, or many sides to Bill, I think, that you haven't seen before that you will definitely appreciate when you see this video. And I am looking forward to it myself. Email me here at webradio@patriots.com. Also, Facebook me, Pete Shepherd, PETESHEPPARD. Just post it right on my wall. I'll get to them all in a second. The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. And we're broadcasting live, of course, from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside the bowels of Gillette Stadium. The football feels right over there. See? Right over there. Right in back of Matt. He's producing this whole thing today. Kevin, was he in Alaska or something?
No, he's on his way to Portland with the Reds.
Oh, and he took air a lot.
He played 11 o'clock tomorrow night. Nice early game.
Oh, my God. Portland, Oregon. Good God.
I heard it's in, like, I haven't talked to Kevin since he's gotten there, but heard the other day that it's, like, already into the 50s during the day there, like 40s
really?
And 50s.
They said tonight is going to be 43 here. 40s tonight
and
tomorrow.
Not all day though.
No, it sucks. In Portland, I haven't been to Oregon yet, but Portland's a beautiful city. You can see the pictures and certainly see when the Trailblazers played and where the Ducks don't play in Portland, but I mean certainly with Oregon State. But no, it's a beautiful state, but I don't know. I don't know if I want to live there.
Cold, raining.
Yep. Gene emails me here at webradio@patriot.com, says, has a few questions, and I love how he ends it. I'll read his ending first. He says, thanks, Pete. Gene in Daytona. Jaguars 17, Jets 13. Garrett Blunt knocks 3 Jets onto IR. Spoken like a true Jet hater. We shall see in that one. I don't know. It's just something about Jacksonville that just, I know they won last week, but I don't know. They could be in some trouble this week at the Meadowlands. Hi, Pete. How long will Taylor Price not suit up for the game? What a waste. I think he deserves a chance. Okay. In place of whom? Who do you want to take out? Branch? Who do you want to address? Branch? No. Ocho Cinco? No. Welker? No. Not Matthew Slater? No, because of his value on special teams as well as he caught the first pass of the season against Miami.
This person wants to go five wide every time.
And Julian Edelman. I suppose you could – and again, Edelman too valuable on special teams. So I don't know. It's a tough call. I agree with you. It's a tough spot. So I don't know. I don't think anytime soon. But there's injury. Injuries can happen. There's five wides that they play for the most part, so anything can happen. What do you think of Matthew Slater's performance Monday? He has become a pleasant surprise. Yeah, well, I think you saw glimpses and flashes in the preseason. Somewhat last year, too. And preseason this year, you saw what he could do on kickoff returns. And, again, I he had that great first catch for 40-something yards, I think, wasn't it? On first catch of the game.
First 49.
Yeah, first completion of the game from Brady. So they threw to him as many times or one less time than Ocho Cinco, and Matthew Slater had a better game. Third question, do you think Bill Belichick has seen enough from Eads to put him on defense in this week? I hope so. This is the guy I've been touting, and I can tell you this. I know he was one of the five players this week that got practice player of the week. I know that. So that's a good thing. And I told you, this is the guy I told you that could end up being possibly like a Danny Woodhead type of steal. Maybe not have the same kind of impact Danny had last year, but a guy like that I think fans are going to really like once he get a chance to get out there. That's the linebacker they picked up from Miami, who many people down there were frustrated that they cut. Four, I love what I saw for Albert Haynesworth. He and Vince created so much disruption in the backfield it forced Henny to run for his life. Yeah, a lot of times they did. How about the one-handed tackle Haynesworth had? Was on Bush? Was on Reggie Bush?
The clothesline that he had?
Yeah. I mean, one-handed. It wasn't a clothesline on his neck. It was around his waist. Yeah. I mean, he was just a beast. I think it was Reggie Bush that he stopped
it was
one-handed.
Bush. He just stuck his arm out and Reggie Bush.
That was a hit. And the other one, even though I've always been a fan of Anthony Fasano, even when he played at Notre Dame, I liked his game a lot. I liked him at Dallas. And I told you, I thought last week he would have a few big catches. He had one monster catch. But my God, Patrick Chung nailed him once in that game. What a hit that was. And not only that, how about the hit that Aaron Hernandez, after catching the ball, put on Sapp from Miami, number 27. Wow. What a hit that was after the – I mean, he just bounced off of him. He was shaken up. Sapp was shaken up.
I think it's an overlooked one. How about the hit that Will Fork put on
Chad Henne. Oh, yeah.
Fletcher spun him around, and Will Fork just destroyed him.
So, I mean, and the Patriots defense, 2-for-14 on third down. So this is why, you know, people get so freaking – it just aggravates me how people just want to just go to the extremes one way or the other, not just about the Patriots, but about every team. All of a sudden, Cam Newton's going to the Hall of Fame.
So ridiculous.
It is. You know, there's a lot of good things this Patriots defense did the other night. And there's a lot of net yardage, once again, that was against them by Henny in the second half when they were down by 14 to 17 points. Now, he also made some nice throws. Don't get me wrong. Henny made some nice throws. The Patriots could have played a little bit better at defense sometimes. I thought McCourty played pretty well on that play to Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall's a big man. He's 6'4", just did not leap him. I thought the coverage was pretty good.
Second half was definitely McCourty's better half.
Yeah, well, no question. He almost had the interception in the end zone. But I think you got to factor in 2-for-14 on third down. That's huge. And 0-for-3 or 0-for-4 on fourth down, whatever it was.
No, they went 4-for-5 on fourth down. Miami did.
Oh, the one that they had the pass in the end zone is the one that wasn't complete on fourth down. Okay,
that's the only negative I really. I mean,
yeah, there was one play I thought that happened again when they were down by two touchdowns and 17 points. It wasn't like the game was on the line and the Patriots defense faltered. I think you got to factor in that stuff. And like I said, I can write some of these bozos columns next week, but I can already tell you what it's going to be like. Okay. I don't even need a crystal ball for this crap because I can tell you this. The Patriots defense will get crapped on all next week. And so will San Diego's. So you mark my words and it'll be unfair for the most part. And people will forget that you're playing one of the top two offensive teams in the league. As I said before, just like it'd be unfair to crap on the Packers or New Orleans for that opening night game, as entertaining as it was, And New Orleans easily could have won that game. That game could have easily at least been a tie, gone tied into overtime, if not for a bonehead call by Sean Payton. But regardless, it was still 42-34. Now, does anybody really think the Packers and New Orleans are going to give up those kind of numbers the rest of the way? No way, with very few exceptions. It's the same thing with the Patriots and Chargers. There's going to be a lot of points scored in this game. That does not mean it's a reflection of what their defense is going to be like towards the end of the year. Or even in the middle of the year. You are talking about two extremely talented offensive teams in a highly offensive league right now. I mean, it's and Brian just talked about the fantasy stuff. It is, forget the running game. It is a complete passing league. And like I said, fantasy people are going to go crazy this weekend because of these numbers. Now, forget last year with 23-20 out there when it was abysmal. Offensive numbers for the Patriots and that stuff. That was a crazy fluky game. Not that that kind of a game can't happen. I just don't anticipate it. I know. I think I was right about last week about the high scoring game. The Patriots were at a game when the Dolphins scored as many points as I said. I said 34-24. They won 38-24. This week, I'll give you my score at the end of the game, at the end of the show coming up. But I'm telling you right now, I got both teams in the 30s. At least 30 points for both teams. And I really believe that. And again, it's not going to be this gigantic reflection. You're talking about superior offensive athletes on the field and some great defensive athletes on the field, too, on both sides in some cases. But the offense is going to prevail. It's just the way the league is right now. It's very difficult. You don't need to have the 85 Bears defense to win the Super Bowl. I think New Orleans proved that, you know, when they won it a couple of years ago. I think they were ranked 23rd overall. You just have to be able to stop plays. I think people don't look enough into the red zone offense, red zone defense, and points allowed. Those are the three areas. Those are really the only three areas I care about at the end of the year. I don't care about net yardage. It doesn't matter. The stats can get skewed way too easily. I've said it a million times.
You went on third down. You win the red zone. You win the game.
Yeah, exactly. Simple. Exactly. Do you think Rivers is still from Gene? He's got a bunch of questions. Do you think Rivers is as mobile as Henny? I can bet Phillip will be looking for Albert. I think Rivers is a superior quarterback. He's one of the top four quarterbacks in the league, in my opinion. He's tough as nails. You may not like his antics sometime, whatever. The guy can play for me anytime, you know? If it wasn't Tom Brady on this team, I'd love to have him. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Phillip Rivers. I think he's a great talent. And he's had some bad luck. Some of it not his fault along the way. Some coaching. Some was his fault, but you know, I'll just never forget his toughness in that AFC Championship game back in 2007. And the Patriots weren't going to lose that game, but he had them. You know, it was only a touchdown game in the end, but he hung right in there. He was banged up; his arm and leg was banged up, and he was there right to the end fighting. And LaDainian Tomlinson didn't play that game, if I remember correctly. He didn't play; he was hurt. He played one play. Played the first play. He had a concussion. Yeah. He got dinged up on the first play, and he never played after that.
He had a head and a knee problem.
Yeah.
And he went out on the first play of the game.
That's right.
Rivers was playing on like one arm and one leg.
Yep. And you know, Turner had a decent game for them, if I remember correctly, that day. But, Phillip Rivers is a great quarterback. Six, I also feel San Diego's loss of Darren Sproles would be a major problem for them this year. I do not see anybody like that on their roster this year. Well, you know, we talked about that a little bit, except one thing. You know, I do think they have, you know, in Matthews and Tolbert, they can, you know, they got a pretty good 1-2 punch there. Maybe it's not as good as Sproles and Turner, or when Tomlinson was there with Sproles and Turner. But I'm not going to go crazy about that. I think the matchups are tremendous on both sides. I mean, you got Floyd and Jackson for the Chargers going up against McCourty and Lee Bodden. Bodden back at practice today, which is a good thing. That was a good thing. Mike Wright, there's some whispers that Mike Wright might, you know, has another concussion. I mean, we know he has a concussion, but won't be shocked if he doesn't play again.
Yeah, not good.
Won't be shocked if he doesn't play again. He might have to retire. That's just opinion. Based on some things I've read and seen, and obviously his situation, which is not good right now. So
I don't think people are overlooked for this game. I think Pete is the tight end play. I mean, you have three really good tight ends.
Well, that's the other part I was just getting at. I mean, the tight ends could be the stars of this game. Obviously, Gates is one of the best, and Hernandez and Gronkowski are playing at that level. I mean, they are. They simply are. I mean, they haven't done it as long, obviously. Gates has been in the league longer. But those are three really all-pro tight ends right there in this game, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, they are phenomenal, and that's probably going to be the big deal. The problem is San Diego only has one. The Patriots have two. They have two guys that can kill you, and it's going to come down to those matchups again.
Is this where maybe our lack of depth at safety becomes a problem?
Possibly. You know, it's possible. But, you know, Barrett and Chung, I thought overall, did a pretty good job last week. You know, if one of those two guys ever goes down, there could be a major problem. That
well,
worries me.
You trust the banged up Barrett potentially covering one of the premier tight ends in the game for
sure.
The past.
Exactly. And Patriots have had trouble in the past covering, you know, big tight ends. Now, last year, you know, Gates had an okay game, not great. I've seen him have. He's had great games against the Patriots before, and he's had some clunkers where they've been on him. Not clunkers, but not up to his level of play. Like I said, I just think all those guys are going to have some decent yards this week, all of them, you know, and it'll come down to one or two stops. And like I said, it could be the first team to 40 wins this game, and it will not be that one defense is so much more horrible than the other. I'm telling you right now, remember, I'm going to play this tape. We're going to play this on Monday. Whatever it is. I'm telling you right now, come Monday morning, and I don't care if the Patriots win by a point, 10 points, whatever. If this game's going to be in the 30s, or say they win 40-30, or 35-30, 34-31, there will be countless articles about how this defense can't win and get to a Super Bowl. Mark my words. It's already started somewhat. And what's his name? When Bruschi was on live today with the guy on ESPN, I forget his name. They're sitting on the stool, and Bruschi was live defending his comments about Ocho Cinco. And the guy turns to Bruschi, he's like, are they going to get to the Super Bowl giving up 24 points to the Dolphins? Again, super. Just looking at the freaking obvious, not delving into any of the numbers besides net yardage. Didn't bring up the fact that they were 2-for-14 on third down. Didn't bring up the fact that it's hot, humid Monday night in Miami.
Week one
of all things. It's funny how that he didn't talk about the Packers giving up 34 points to New Orleans, or New Orleans giving up 42 points to the Packers, and how bad their defenses are going to be.
Or Pittsburgh.
I mean, does people really think Pittsburgh's defense is going to give up 35 a game? I hope so, but I doubt it.
That'd be nice for us come in.
I hope so, but no, I seriously doubt that's going to happen. So, just people, I'm really shocked at the media. Fans I expect it from, you know, I get it. No matter what team you're a fan of, I get it. That's the term fan fanatic. Sometimes we all get carried away, different things. But it is so disgusting to me sometimes, and some of these media people, local and national, how they just go to the extremes one way or the other. And I was talking about, you know, what happened last week. Every freaking article I read was about Brady being old, the clock ticking. It just, you know, it's embarrassing. And he just embarrassed you people again by going out and doing what he did. You know? I mean, has Tom Brady lost a step? Is he this? Is he that? Stop it. You know what? We'll know when he lost a step. You know, we'll know it. I told you, when he starts throwing more interceptions than touchdown passes,
are you kidding me?
You'll know he lost a step. Until then, everybody shut up about how he's 34 years old and the clock is ticking like I said yesterday, he's some 45-year-old woman who wants to have a child but is debating whether, you know, she's young enough to. And maybe that's a bad analogy, but that's the only thing I can think of off the top of my head. It's just so outrageous. Biological clock, you know, and Marissa Tomei pounding my foot, you know. Anyway, then Mel Kiper. I got to see motorcycle head Mel Kiper outside a college draft. You know, I got to listen to him talk about pro football players, talk about Cam Newton using the word great today. And up, you know, a star in the making. Come on.
He had
one
game
against Arizona. I'm not saying maybe he ends up being the greatest quarterback of all time. I doubt it. But you know, it's one game. And it'll be the first people, they're the first ones, the hypocrites that they are, will come back at him. If he throws for 250 yards this week and has three, four, five picks, and they'll jump down his throat. You know? Think about what Drew Bledsoe going to the Patriot Hall of Fame, and rightly so. Think about what Drew Bledsoe, those of you remember, when he got here in 93. Think about that. Think about the first year when he was here. And I remember almost every game like it was yesterday, because we had such high expectations. I remember the opening game. I covered the team previously, but I remember the year Bledsoe got here. I wasn't at EEI yet, and I was not covering the Patriots that year. I covered the Patriots first year during the Rod Rust years. I was around for the whole Lisa Olsen thing, that whole freaking mess, and that was a mess. when there would be 20 people in the stands and, you know, the press box was half empty and that kind of thing. But I worked for some dinky station out in northern Worcester County, and we covered the, we had the Patriots, and I just wanted to get acclimated to the scene. But I remember in 93, the game wasn't sold out. Drew Bledsoe's opening game was not sold out at home against Detroit because it was on, I remember, the old satellite dishes. Remember, some, you'd have to go to some bars back then in New England that would have the satellite dishes to find the game. So there was one out where I lived out in Central Mass at the time, and finally got it in, and I believe it lost by 3 points, and I think it was Scott Sisson missed a couple of field goals back then that could have beaten Detroit. So that was a heartbreaker. And then and they went they went 6-10 that year, but they could have gone 9-7 very easily, or they actually could have gone 10-6. There were a few games that came right down to the wire, and then Drew got hurt a couple games that year early on. He missed a couple of games, and like Scott Sekules came in and played for them. But they had a game against the Steelers in Pittsburgh where they very easily could have won. It came down to the last second. I think it was a quarterback sneak, and the game was very high scoring. They were competitive at the end against almost everybody. They won their last four games. I remember they knocked Miami out of the playoffs the last game of the year. Bledsoe threw a great pass, and I think it was to Kevin Turner even then. We remember the Minnesota game the year after that where he really became a star. But you think about that and then 94 and then I also remember the other game. You know, I remember a lot of other games. I mean, he had some fantastic games here. Fantastic games as a Patriot. No question about it. One thing you could never question, you may question his intelligence at times and playmaking decisions. No doubt about it. Fair criticism. I will never question the guy's toughness or his heart. No question. The guy played through touchdowns with pins in his fingers. The slight concussions he played. I mean, it took a lot to keep Drew Bledsoe down. You may not always agree with how he worked out in the offseason. Maybe he could have done some different things. But there's no question this franchise is not where it is today without Drew Bledsoe at quarterback, and Bill Parcells too. But Drew is a great quarterback here. He was a very good quarterback to slash great. He was a very good quarterback. Brady is a great quarterback. Drew was very good here. It's too bad because Drew could have been great. And what problem is, people are going to remember the fumble in Pittsburgh back in 97. They're going to remember that. When they lost that game 7-6, when all they had to do was basically get another 10 yards for Vinatieri to get a chance for a game-winning field goal after the defense made an unbelievable goal line stance. And I was at that game, covering that game in Pittsburgh that day. So those are the things you're going to remember. And you remember towards the end of the year, I mean, he had a half a season in Buffalo, and then he fell apart. Dallas, he never really became anything. And I think people are going to remember those games. But if you're old enough and remember what he did, especially the first 4 or 5 years here, I mean, really spectacular stuff. Stuff that people around here had never seen before. Never seen before. So he does deserve all the props he gets. He certainly is one of the greatest Patriot players to ever play the game. No doubt about it. Josh says, criticism of the defense at this point is just plain stupid. Look how much better they're starting this year than the last two. The Patriots fans know Belichick will work his magic and have them playing up to their maximum potential in just a few weeks. And guess what, folks? That will be a hell of a lot better than when they were at the end of last year, and they will be in a much better place in terms of being a Super Bowl-ready defense. They don't have to be great to start. They just have to be better than they were at the end of last year. We are there already. Book it, Pete. Super Bowl, here we come. Well, I'm with you. And like I said, you know, to do the butterfly effect thing, and it's last year was last year, but I am completely convinced, again, take into consideration what happened in the Jet playoff game last year. And when it's all said and done, yes, at the end, the Patriots were outplayed, and I guess you could say they were outcoached in some ways, or a lot of ways. But the Jets intercept the Patriots on that drive. They do everything perfect. They march down the field. They miss. I think it was a 29-yard field goal that they miss. So here you have the Jets, who just get blown out by 42 points or whatever it was, you know, 4 or 5 weeks earlier. They did everything perfect and missed the field goal. Patriots get the ball in the second to march right down the field again. Crumpler drops the end zone, drops the touchdown pass, and the rest, as they say, is history. A game that could have been 10-0, 14-0 Patriots, end up being 0-0 at the time. Changed the game completely. As I've always said, there's three or four plays in a game that can make or break you. Sometimes they come early, sometimes they come late. I am absolutely convinced, I'll go to my grave with it, that if Crumpler scores that touchdown pass, that's an entirely different game. You gotta figure the Jets would have been totally psychologically damaged after that, after they had done everything perfect and still came up empty. But it didn't happen that way. We're not make believe. The Jets won. We move on. The Jets lost, as they usually do. When it really, really counts, they lost. And they will, and in my opinion, they still will never win a Super Bowl with Sanchez at quarterback. You know, Rex Ryan, I think, is good for the NFL. I'm not a big Rex Ryan fan. I shouldn't say I think he's good for the game. I think he's good for the NFL. It's nice to have contrasting styles. It really is. If everybody acted the same, it'd be kind of boring, wouldn't it? So I have no problem with Rex Ryan and his answer. Whatever he thinks works for him. I just think it's hysterical that he keeps saying they're going to win everything, they're going to win everything, and win everything. And I know he really believes in his heart, but you're better off, you know, do it first, then brag about it or talk about it. That's all. I mean, we're just used to seeing things the way that's done around here for the most part. All right, going to take a quick break. When I come back, more on the Patriots Chargers. I will have my picks. Get ready. This is tough this week. Last week, again, we'll go over all over again. I'll have more Facebook messages for you, and I'll have some web mail, web radio at patriot.com emails for you. Join me on Ace Ticket Hotline if you like, 508-298-0398. We're broadcasting live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We're back after this.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the paths are driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL Mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revise.
Cool.
You have to fly into China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the Big and Toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face." Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donut stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Tingly feeling after that. Love that. I love. What's the official name of that song? Do we know? You guys know all that stuff.
That is Carmina. No,
what's it called?
Carmina Burana.
Ah, nice. Love that. Did you like the way I changed the words?
I think we should put that in.
I know. If you're out doing a lot of people do karaoke. If you're out, I mean, punch that song up and you'll see the words. You know, it ends with I hate the Jets. Yeah. I mean, what's better than that?
We'd have to cue that up and get that as one of the opens for your show next.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. Dave says, and he must have just missed my little diatribe on Philip Rivers and how much I do respect him because this came a couple minutes ago. Pete, love the show as always. I have to listen to the podcast delayed today. So worth it. Pete, I love the Pats in this game, but I wanted to point out how much respect as an opponent I have for Philip Rivers. I'm sure you remember the gutsy performance in the playoffs a few years back. The guy's knee was ripped to shreds and never gave up. The same night, little Danny Tomlinson couldn't even stand up and cheer his teammates on and sat with a hooded jacket and dark visor down the whole game. That taught me about both players that night. I hope you share my admiration for Rivers, except when playing the Pats. Any thoughts? Your Facebook friend, Dave in Marlboro. Dave, I just went, you must have just missed it, or if you're on delay, you'll hear it tomorrow, but before I read your email, I think I spent about 10 minutes on how much respect I do have for Philip Rivers, and he can play for me any day. Ton of respect. Guy's tough as nails.
Wouldn't on that one. LT couldn't stand up or wouldn't stand up and cheer on his teammates.
I think he implying that he was just kind of didn't want to play in the game, which a lot of people had those thoughts after that game. So we'll see. Now, my buddy Michael Smith, who's just a great, one of the diehard Packer fans that he is. So he was talking earlier when I was talking about top offenses and players of the, you know, and he's going, really, Pete, Pats 1 and Packers 1A? All the Pack did was win the Super Bowl and 15 players on IR. Now they have them back, including a top 10 running back and a top 3 tight ends for Aaron Rodgers. Oh, and they beat up a top 5 team in the league last week while the Patriots lost in the playoffs last year and beat a bottom dweller this year. Well, I don't know. I don't think they're a bottom dweller. It's the Packers and the rest of the league this year. They will be the top of the power rankings all year. Good show. Love the fantasy guy. Well, as far as power rankings go, you really think I give a crap about power rankings? The Patriots have been number one in power rankings so many times. I could care less about that stuff. That stuff's all subjective. You know, again, that's a net yardage stuff they do. The Patriots have been number one plenty of times. So I couldn't care if the Patriots are 15th in power rankings or one. It means nothing. All I care about is how they perform on the field.
That's like total QBR.
Yeah, I mean,
Fitzpatrick, the number one QB exactly. in the league last week. Oh, okay,
exactly.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly. So, you know, as far as that goes, I mean, look, and Michael and I go back and forth on Facebook all the time for different things. The Packers are a great team. Patriots are a great team. I picked the Patriots in New Orleans this year in the Super Bowl. You know, could have easily picked the Patriots and Packers. A lot of people are. Very easily. Wouldn't shock me one single bit if it was the other way around. And if everybody stays reasonably healthy, I think those three teams, if they played each other 20 times during the season, it would probably be pretty damn close. They played 20 times against each other, probably be .500 record. Or 23 times, whatever would come out to be 500, say 21 times. So they played each other 7 times, 11 and 10, 10 and 11. That's what it'd be. It's just three great offensive teams. And not one team is not going to stop the other. You know, not going to convince me of the Patriots. If
the
Patriots playing the Packers this week, I'd feel the same way. High scoring shootout game. That's the way it's going to be. If they played New Orleans, I'd feel the same way. I just think you got to take it on a week to week basis. See what happens. See how healthy everybody is. Doesn't mean one team is that much superior over the other. They're great teams. You know, Michael and others think, and other people out there think the Jets are the best team in football. Which I laugh in your face when you say that. There are people last week who thought Dallas was going to be this big sleeper team in football. I laugh in your face. For years, people have thought San Diego has had the best talent and best offense and defense in the league, and they haven't done anything. They've, you know, had some competitive years and some not so competitive years, and, you know, they haven't done anything. You know, the Packers are the defending Super Bowl champs, so technically they are the, if you want, I mean, I guess they are considered the best team in football last year. But we're not playing last year. We're playing this year.
People put a lot this of stock year. Into the 15 players on IR and all
yeah.
that. I mean, it was a great accomplishment to win without guys like Grant, Finley, Barnett.
Sure.
You look, though, Barnett's not there anymore.
It's taking nothing away from them.
And yep. who's saying that Ryan Grant is going to have this incredible year? It's all about team chemistry as you move along.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and health. I mean, health more than anything right. in this league. And that's, I mean, it's not a coincidence that five of the last 12 defending Super Bowl champions have not even made the playoffs. There's a reason for it. You know, it's tough. It's tough.
That happening with Green Bay unless
I don't either.
Rodgers, Grant, Driver, everyone on that team goes down.
I don't either, but there are plenty of other, you know, I've thought that before in the past too. You know, a couple times with this team. Now, granted, in 08. Brady went down, but they still won 11-5. They still, you know, if it wasn't for freaking Brett Favre again, the Jets not getting a first down against Miami. All they had to do was get a first down, the Patriots in the playoffs, and that would have been, what an accomplishment that would have been. But again, you take a top quarterback off any of these teams and see what happens. And although I still think this week, the Cleveland being favored in Indianapolis is might be a mistake. We'll get to that. I'll get to my picks in a little bit. A couple more emails here. Tiff from Wisconsin, my girl Tiff, says, "Hi, Pete. I already see significant improvement in the defense from game one. McCourty has had a slow start, but he made plays in the second half. I think the secondary played significantly improved from the first half to second half. I hope the linebackers play better. I am convinced the defensive line will get better. Do you read your tweets? You should be up on Twitter during the games. I tweeted you during the Cowboys and Jets game. How pathetic was Romo? I can't believe they didn't win. Romo should have received the Jets game ball. That was just pathetic. Romo is Favre without all of the success, but with all of the meltdowns, I almost feel sorry for Cowboy fans." Well, the thing is, usually during games at night, I'm not on Twitter or Facebook, only because I wanted to stay concentrated on the game. What I thought was hysterical the other night, Matt, was when, you know, during the Patriot-Miami game, and when Jaws, I thought Gruden originally had said the little S-bomb, you know.
That was awesome.
The other word for crap. And I just happened to be, I was checking my regular email. I just happened to go to the fan. I said, let me just see what happens. So I punched up. I said, I thought it was Gruden. I said, because it happened so quick, I was kind of half paying attention at the time. And I was just answering. And I said, Gruden just said bleep on the air, you know. And I mean, it was like 157. And then I was like, well, maybe I said, well, it was Jaws. Cause people say, I think it was Jaws. I said, I couldn't really tell. And I didn't want to rewind it during the Patriot game and go to the DVR, until afterwards. But then obviously it was exactly, we confirmed that it was Jaws. And you know, who cares? It was just a, you know.
Can you imagine
the reason why I thought it was Gruden, because Gruden, you know, can fly off the handle at times, and Jaws is always so distinguished and professional and all that stuff. It was just great to see. Great to hear. I mean, who cares? I mean, if people were offended by that, I mean, Jaws is one of the best analysts in the business, no question about it. So that didn't bother me. Yeah, but usually I'm not on Twitter during the games. I mean, I'll tweet something. I usually just use Twitter for what I'm doing, coming up on the show, things like that, some poker tournaments I'm in, or some charity stuff, charity poker tournaments that my friends run. Other than that, I'm not one of those to put on Twitter, you know, I'm out taking a dump, you know. It's just not my style. I try to do what's somewhat informative. Huh?
What is your Twitter for fans?
Good question. I think it's Pete0326.
Figured you said you're going to be plugging your charity poker tournament.
Yeah,
some people following you.
Yeah, and I did, and so I'm not sure I put it on Twitter today, but the charity event. I'll bring it up right at the end of the show because I want to get to my picks in just a second here. I want to get to more of these a couple more of these emails, but I think it's Pete0326 at Twitter. That's my birthday, March 26th. So it's Gene says, hi, Pete. Sorry, Pete. I meant Maurice Jones-Drew, not LeGarrette Blount will knock three Jets out through the year on IR. But I definitely got the score right. Jaguars 13, Jets 13, Jaguars 17. Well, you could be right. I don't know.
I'd love to see it, but
I'd love to see that. That could be one of those real ugly games the Jets win.
I just
like
can't
13
see McCown beating the Jets.
No, I don't either. But I didn't think I thought Jacksonville would have a trouble last week winning, and they got it done.
Every dog has their day, but I know. If you get 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, I know. It's certainly possible. But great to say. I mean, the Jets not only should have lost that game, they should have been humiliated. They were on the verge of being humiliated. It was right there for Dallas to win that game by 21 points.
Tony Romo decided to throw up
on his mouth and throw up all over himself and puke on everybody else and just absolutely atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. Dave says, Pete is my sports binky. Well, that's flattering. Thank you. Well, it's about that time. Grab the family. As we do this every week. Grab the family. Grab the kids. Grab your dog, cat, or whatever other beast you might have in the house as a family pet. And gather around your computer right now as we go over the picks for week 2 in the National Football League. Last week, as I said, some ups and some downs. 7-7-2. I told you I'd go 62% of this week would be free, and I'm a man of my word. This week is free, Matt. Free for everybody
free
out
for
there.
Everyone.
You don't have to pay. You don't have to call any 900 numbers. You don't have to go on any websites. You get free and guaranteed. I'm going to guarantee 67% this week. 67%. Now, last week, I went 7-7-2, but I did have my Pete the Meat miraculous pick overall, which was Dallas plus the number. They got the job done. They should have won the freaking game outright, as I just said. But they embarrassed themselves, their fans, the National Football League, and this program by not winning the game outright and offended me personally, which is something else needs to be said. So here we go. Actually, let me just set something else up here first. Talk amongst yourself for a second. There we go. All right. Game number one. I'm going to pass. I'm going to do this at the end because this is going to be my super-duper lock at the end, and I'll get to that afterwards. So game number one, Detroit is home against Kansas City. The Lions are an 8-point favorite. We talked about some fantasy stuff with this with Brian Lowe earlier on the Lowdown Fantasy Football segment, but I don't know. I mean, Detroit looked good. They came back. I know they look good in Tampa Bay. Is Kansas City going to be this bad? See, I do have this gut feeling, and I've always learned over the years about teams who get blown out the previous week, for the most part, comebacks fairly strong. I just think 8 points is a little too much here for still an up-and-coming young Jet team. Matt Castle and the Chiefs, I got to believe, have a little bit of pride left. I'm not saying they're going to win or even come close to winning, but this game has cover and backdoor cover to me written all over it. So I'm going to take Kansas City in that spot plus the 8. A very interesting game from a point spread wise, you know, but it's still Detroit.
It's a big number
at home for a team that has had trouble even winning 2 or 3 games over the years. They won 6 last year, but next up, Jets are home 9-point favorites against Jacksonville. Oh, this is another tough one. It really is. You know, obviously I'd like to, I just think again, this is one of those games. And I wish, you know, I should have looked this up and see who the Jets are playing next week. But this could be a significant trap game. I'm assuming everybody's going to be playing division opponent next week, or mostly because no division games this week. Very interesting part of the schedule. Nobody is playing within their division this week. So Jacksonville plus the 9, they get the play from me. I'll take a chance and go Jacksonville plus the 9 here. Not because I hate the Jets. I just think it's too big of a number. I think the Jets win, but I think Jacksonville covers. Buffalo, the new America's team, is home against Oakland, the Raiders, who that game was so disgusting to watch on Monday night, and it's just such an antithesis of what the Patriots and Dolphins did. To watch a penalty every other play, to watch Kyle Orton drop the ball when nobody was near him. And then, you know, the Raiders just so, who can figure the Raiders out? They're 3-point underdogs. I'm going to go with the Bills in this one at home. Lay the 3. Maybe they have some confidence. Oakland has to travel across the country. It's too bad it's not in December, because I'd definitely take Buffalo in that game if it was. But it's going to be mid-September. So I'll go with the Bills. They're on a roll.
Speaking of Oakland, that's who the Jets play next week.
Oh, they do. That's out in Oakland?
That is out in Oakland.
Well, that could be interesting. That could be an interesting game next week. But we'll get to that next week. Next up, Washington is at home against Arizona. Now, this is one of those, I don't know, it's Rex Grossman. They're favored by 3.5. I got to tell you, not feeling it. I had Washington last week, went out right over the Giants. I thought the wrong team was favored. I was right about that one. And this game, to me, should be almost a pick 'em. I'm taking Arizona 3.5. It might be half a point too much. I'll take Arizona plus a 3.5 in this one. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I'll take Arizona. Baltimore is at Tennessee, a 6-point favorite. I like the Ravens in this one, minus 6. They're on a high. Tennessee, and usually this is, you know, tough call. Tough call on this one. 6-point touchdown underdog at home. That's tough to go against right there. Most times I would pick Tennessee in that situation, but I'm not. I'm taking Baltimore. Got a feeling that they squeak out a cover in this one, maybe by a touchdown and an extra point. Pittsburgh is home against Seattle, the biggest line of the day. 14 points. The Steelers favored by 2 touchdowns. Sorry. Way too much this early in the season. I know it looks good. It looks tempting. People are like, oh, the Vegas guys get it right. They think the Steelers are going to win by 30. Maybe they do. They could win 30-10. But that's too much for me to lay in this game. At any time, double digits are very hard to lay in the NFL because most of the games, over close to 70% of the games, are decided by a touchdown or less. I am going with Seattle to somehow cover this line. Seattle plus the 14 gets the call. Green Bay is at Carolina. Green Bay is a 10-point favorite on the road at Carolina. Well, you know, maybe Cam Newton puts up some numbers. Maybe not. I know Green Bay will put up numbers. There's no question about that. I think they win the game. Maybe it's close at first, but I think Green Bay pulls away and wins by a couple of touchdowns. So lay the 10. Green Bay minus 10. I don't know if they win like by 30, but I think they win by at least they win by 14. I'll say Green Bay by 2 touchdowns, which is plenty. That's fine in the NFL. Minnesota is home. They are a 3-point favorite against Tampa Bay. I hate Minnesota. I think they stink. I think they stink, and I'm just taking Tampa Bay. I know that's a tough one last week. Tampa Bay plus 3 gets the number for me. I think they win the game outright. Cleveland is favored by 2.5 in Indianapolis. Yes, we all know how badly we feel for Peyton Manning not playing. We all know Kerry Collins and the Indianapolis defense and the whole thing. Everybody's down last week. I mean, they just didn't show up. I mean, they were just obviously devastated. Very similar in a much different way than when Lawyer Malloy left to go to Buffalo. It was one of those type of games. Obviously, Peyton Manning has a much more huge impact on than Lawyer Malloy leaving. But somehow I think Indy's going to get it together and find a way to beat a very mediocre to bad Cleveland team. I mean, Cleveland was a kind of a trendy pick for some people. They even maybe win 8 games this year. I don't know. They lost at home to the Bengals. Now, you lose the Bengals at home. They were 6.5-point favorites last week. I thought that was the dumbest line of the week. They shouldn't be 6-point favorites over anybody. And now they're 2.5-point favorites on the road? Are you kidding me? I'll go with Indy. Indy, minus the 2.5, gets to play. Dallas at San Francisco. Dallas is a favorite on the road by 3. Forget about it. I'm taking the Niners at home with a 3-point dog. I like a lot of the home dogs this week. I don't know what Dallas team is going to show up. They could be up by 20 in the second quarter, and Roma could throw 3 picks, and they lose. I'll take San Fran plus the 3. Houston is at Miami. Very, very interesting game. Can the Dolphins possibly start 0-2 at home again after going 1-7 at home last year? Is it possible? Is it possible? I guess, but not probable. I'm taking the Dolphins at home, Miami, plus the 3 at home against Houston to get the job done. Denver is home against Cincinnati and gets their 3.5-point favorites. Denver is another team. It's very, very difficult to figure out. I thought they would beat the Raiders last. You would think after getting humiliated by the Raiders last year in 2 games, they would come out, and yeah, they only lost by 3, but they kind of really weren't in. They got a garbage touchdown at the end. But I'm going to go with Denver again. I'm going to ride Kyle Orton. I'm a Kyle Orton guy. I always have been, even though he just frustrates the hell out of you because he looks like great some plays, and then he looks like a turd some other plays. So I'll go with I'm going to go with the half a turd. Kyle Orton hopefully has a turdless game, and Denver somehow beats Cincinnati. They cover the 3.5. My next game, Philadelphia at Atlanta. This was almost going to be one of my miraculous locks, but I picked another game. I'll get to that in a second. Philadelphia on the road, 2.5-point favorites at Atlanta. Lots of emotion in this game, all that stuff. But the Atlanta Falcons were humiliated last week. I don't care about Michael Vick coming back. And, yeah, he'll have a lot to prove and do something. Yeah, I get all that. It's still a horrible Eagles offensive line, at least what I've seen so far. They were lucky last week that the entire offense that worked the damn for St. Louis got hurt. I got to figure Atlanta being embarrassed last week. They came out 2.5-point underdogs at home. The wrong team favored in this game. I like the Falcons plus the 2.5 in this one to get their first win of the season. And Michael Vick, I think, is going to be running for his life on Sunday night. I really do. I think the Falcons are going to, that crowd's going to be fired up for this game. I know I will be. Monday night, maybe the clunker of the week. Actually, no. Cleveland and Indianapolis are the clunker of the week. This is crap game number two of the week, which is Monday Night Football. Giants at St. Louis. So the Giants are 6-point favorites against the Rams. This is another tough call. I know Bradford to say is going to play. Jackson's out. I don't know. This is a tough one. I'll go with the Giants. You know why? This is a single reason. It may be stupid, but it's embarrassing, that stupid video that the fans put up for the Ram fan video. If you haven't seen it, it's on my Facebook page, the whole video. Patriots.com. I have it on my Facebook, so you can check it out.
Ram rules.
Ram rules. It is just pathetic. The audio is hysterical, but it doesn't do it justice. You got to see the video, especially the last part about
slow clap it out.
Slow clap it out. Oh, my God. It's offensive. It really is. Now, last two games. The Patriots. Actually, I'll give you my super-duper lock. It's not the Patriots or the Chargers. My super Pete the Meat miraculous pick is going to be New Orleans. New Orleans minus 6.5 over the Bears. I still cannot get into the Cutler and the Bears. I don't know what Atlanta was drinking or did the night before or ate the night before or had a bad breakfast. Somebody didn't make the pass their bowels. I don't know. I don't know. You know, irritable bowel syndrome. I don't know. Whatever it is. But I hope they get it out of their system. But the Bears, I just don't believe in them at all. Even though they were in the NFC Championship game last year, that was a miracle in itself. But New Orleans, big, 35-20, is my Pete the Meat miraculous pick of the week. Okay, New Orleans, 35-20, at home over the Bears. And now, last but not least, the Patriots. They are at home. They're home opener against San Diego. Like I said, lots of offense. I think the Patriots win. The Chargers cover, though. The Chargers cover the 7. That's a big line for this game with all this offense. Too big for me. I think it's going to be one hell of a game. Hopefully, I think it's going to be one of the more entertaining games of the year. Final score, Patriots 35, Chargers 30. There you have it, folks. 35-30. I like the Patriots, but I like the Chargers to cover. And we'll be back next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Also, I want to remind everybody tonight, my poker player friends out there, which I know there are a lot of you, this is going to be right in Foxborough at 337 Cohasset Street in Foxborough. Tonight, $25 satellites at 6, $90 main event at 7:15. You get 15,000 in chips, $10 add-on for 5,000 chips, so basically $100, 20K starting chips for $100 at the Foxborough VFW Post 2626. It's at 337 Cohasset Street in Foxborough. Hope to see all of you there. My buddy Craig Bradford and Helping Hands Poker, they do a lot. Have done for so many charities over the years, especially around the South Shore in this area. I hope to see you guys there tonight. Once again, it's at the Foxborough VFW Post, 2626, 337, Cohasset Street in Foxborough. Hope to see you guys here. Have a great and safe rest of your weekend. Enjoy your football. I'll talk to you Tuesday at 4 o'clock. Bye-bye.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the paths are driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL Mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the 6th one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans, Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots.
Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.